Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The attacks by the Iranian-backed Iraqi militia on outposts in the tri-border region of Iraq, Syria, and Jordan, leading to the death of three Americans, the wounding of many more, and now the deaths of our Kurdish allies in continuing strikes. And then there are the Houthis of North Yemen, dominating the capital Sana'a, launching sophisticated missiles and drones provided by the Iranians against Red Sea shipping, against warplanes and warships in the Red Sea, guarding the commercial traffic. All of this has brought the Biden administration to responding with violence, with missiles launched from warships, with aircraft strikes, and with missiles in going to the launch sites and the infrastructure, depending upon whether you're talking about Iraq or Yemen. And I welcome Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently at American Greatness, of what our adversaries, that would be Iran, a part of the axis of resistance, Russia and China are part of the story, what they have learned so far from the provocations by the Iraqi militia and by the Houthis. Victor, a very good evening to you. Lessons learned in Tehran, Moscow, and Beijing. How do they regard Mr. Biden's response? Good evening to you.
I think they're still probing for some ceiling on these assaults, because they feel that the more that they strike these outposts and bases, either with drones or missiles, and the more that we just don't have a holistic or totality of responses, but we go isolated fashion, we reply in kind and proportionately, they feel they can endure that, and so they up it. And I don't know whether the number is 180, 200, and 250, but they feel during this long process that they are insidiously wearing away the deterrence of the United States. And they don't feel there's going to be a holistic solution. And what that would be, of course, would be massive economic sanctions, barring Iranian officials from the international banking system, cutting off the Houthis from finance, declaring them a truly global terrorist organization, and stopping all military use Iranian ships in the Red Sea, or even getting rid of them. But they don't feel that they are going to receive that type of retaliation, so they're going to continue the aggression.
In your American Greatness piece, you list the situation on the basis of what has happened during the Biden administration that gives the Iranians heart to continue the attacks. The flight from Afghanistan, the Chinese spy balloon, the signals on the Ukraine war, it'll be over in a few days or not, the Pentagon's recruitment, the destruction of the U.S. southern border, all of this has taught Iran and its surrogates to continue to press the attack. But the U.S. is responding, Victor. We're firing missiles into launch sites, and that is a puzzle. Why not decapitation? That is the way we conducted the war on terror to some success. Take out the leadership, and we do not see the transnational threat that we did before. Why not take out Houthis' leadership? I'm sure they know where they are.
I don't know that answer, John. I do know that we waited and sort of telecast the nature of our response. So given the enemy's propaganda, we can't believe everything they've said, but there have been communications that they are not particularly perturbed by our response. In other words, they had time to evacuate these command and control centers, or they went into bunkers, or they were expendable. But you get the impression, at least so far, that we haven't done the things that a lot of strategists have called for. And what would that be? To sink the spy command and control Iranian vessels in the Red Sea, and to find the bunkers of the military apparat and destroy them, and to sanction economically Iran and not to allow it to sell oil, and to sanction its top officials, and maybe even to embargo or put a blockade around its ports. And therefore, what I'm getting at, I think what a lot of people are saying, John, the more you can be severe with economic, financial, or maritime sanctions, the less likely you would have to go to a war with Iran. And I don't even think you would have to go to a war with Iran if it came to that, because you could, first of all, take out its ports, or you could hit its naval facilities, or you could hit its electrical grid if you wanted to. But it would be better to try these other stern sanctions and embargoes and blockades first. And then if you were going to strike militarily Iran, it would be far more effective to find out where the Iranian theocratic government and military resides, its headquarters, to distinguish it from the Iranian people, because they don't seem to be especially popular with the Iranian streets, so to speak.
One possible explanation, and I don't have any evidence of it, but it is there, is that the Biden administration continues to believe that the Iran deal can be revived, reawakened, and strengthened. I know it sounds fantastic given that we're shooting missiles at Iranian surrogates, but do you believe the State Department, after all this, after the Gaza war, after the provocations, wants to get back to talk about the nuclear weapons?
I do. I think they have an irrational, and I don't know what the word for it is, a blind spot with Iran. That would be charitable. I think more they really do believe that the Iranians could be future allies of the United States, or at least they could be used to control the Syrians or Hamas or Hezbollah or the Houthis and form some sort of creative tension against the Gulf monarchies in Israel. And then you would have this, you know, back and forth, yin and yang, of which the United States could adjudicate. And you wouldn't really see that Iran and its surrogates are qualitatively different than the constitutional government of Israel or the moderate Arab regimes in Egypt and Jordan and the Gulf. But they don't seem to make that difference. They just seem to promote Iranian interests, either by indifference or by active helping of Iran by trying to, you know, dismantle the sanctions that were so effective, or allow their oil sales, or to re-enter the Iran deal, or to do a lot of things that don't make sense.
The presentation right now is that the United States wants to avoid something called a wider war. That is why Secretary of State Blinken, his fifth visit to the region since the outrage in Israel, is talking to Saudi Arabia and the UAE and other actors about a wider war. What is a wider war if we're not seeing it now, Victor? We've got a conflict that's raging from Iraq all the way to Egypt, and from the Red Sea all the way to Ukraine. What is a wider war?
I don't know. I think they feel a wider war would be a 1967 or 1973 full-scale conventional war between Israel and Hezbollah on the soil of Lebanon, or it would be an active war of Iran where its military and its full mobilization or manifestation would attack Israel. But none of those serious scenarios are likely as long as there's a strong U.S., because the United States could stop it almost instantaneously without putting soldiers on the ground, just through naval and air power. Iran knows that. There has been one characteristic of all of these tensions, John, not just this year, but last year, but all going back to the Trump and Biden and Bush administrations. Anytime the United States has lost its patience with Iran, is on the verge of really muscular retaliation, the Iranians stand down because they look at how vulnerable they are. They look at how unpopular the regime is, and they know how asymmetrical a war with the United States would be. So I guess I'm getting at, if you want a regional war, a regional conventional war, and maybe you want Russia or China to intervene, then you would do what we're doing now, and that is appeasing Iran and not replying muscularly to the people who are killing Americans. And once we make it clear that if you kill an American or you even attempt to kill him, then there's going to be a disproportionate and unpredictable response, not one that we keep saying should be proportionate. All we do is say three things, John. We say, we're going to respond at a time and place of our choosing. It will be proportionate. We do not want a wider war. And although Iran's surrogates are involved, we have no direct evidence that Iran is culpable. And that is entirely the wrong message.
Moscow, does Moscow gain from this indecision by the Biden administration? Does Moscow encourage Tehran or even direct it to continue these surrogate attacks to drain the resources of the U.S. military?
Up to a point it does. It relies on some munitions from Iran. It likes the idea that Iran and Russia supply oil at a discounted price in some cases to this new Chinese-Russian bloc. It does not want a full-scale war in the Middle East for a variety of reasons. Its Chinese ally does not want that. And it knows that the United States still has the capability of ending it very quickly. And with that ending, eliminating exports of drones, say, to Russia, or to humiliate Russia by its inability to protect its own surrogates and satellites, and maybe an anger that would manifest itself with greater arms shipments to Ukraine. But Russia right now is tied down in Ukraine, and China depends heavily on oil from the Middle East, and neither one of them want a theater-wide war. They like exactly what's happening now, just a constant harangue, a constant nibbling at Americans all over the area, constant picking off or harvesting American soldiers, and in the process humiliating the United States and eroding our sense of deterrence.
The border. Victor Davis Hanson is here, Hoover Institution, writing most recently American Greatness, but for years he's written of the border. And now there's legislation in Congress. They're voting on it. They're debating it, the two parties. But what is it right now that has moved the Biden administration to pay attention to something that Victor's been very clear about for some time, that the border doesn't exist? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.